So did you move 30 balls?
Probably.
There's your $5. I'm a man of my word. I paid you. All right. Give him a hand, guys. We are in quest of a kingdom. We started this this series just a few weeks ago, and we're looking for the kingdom of God. And so I want you to consider the object lesson that you just watched, and I'd like you to ask, was it fair? Was it fair that everybody received the exact same amount? Let me ask you something. If you have a job, is it fair if you receive the same thing as the person that does less work than you at work? I got a feeling that if you did that, we would be kind of upset if the workforce paid everybody the same thing. You would think it was kind of unfair because, you see, what makes things unfair is that we are a society that believes that the more you do, the more you make. We are a society that believes the more I accomplish, the more that I get. And that's kind of the way that we're trained. But to find the kingdom of God, we're going to have to take that training and set it to the side just for a moment. Because what I want you to do is I want to tell you a story. This little object lesson, I'd love to tell you I thought of it just so I could find another way to torture my kid. But that's not what happened. Really, this is a story you just watched reenacted that was told by Jesus. If you have your copy of God's Word with you today, you can turn to Matthew chapter 20. If you don't have a bullet, have that with you. In the bulletin, I put the story out there. And we're going to follow the same outline that we followed last week when we were talking about the kingdom of heaven. And we started looking at the different ways that we look at a parable. And we're going to look at this parable today that is found in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And we're going to do the obvious thing. We're going to observe the story. In short, we're just going to read it. So this is what the story that Jesus told is. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you what is ever right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and three in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' And when evening came, the landowner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers to pay them their wages at the beginning with the last one hired, going to the first.' The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So those who came were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius, and listen what happened. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowners. 'Those who were hired work only an hour,' they said. 'You have made them equal with us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Did you not agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who hired last the same as you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last.'" So here we have a story that Jesus told, and I kind of want to explain the context of what you're watching here in this story. First of all, I want you to understand exactly what the job was. The job was picking grapes. It was a vineyard. He wasn't asking for winemakers. He wasn't asking for anything else. He was simply asking for people to go out and pick grapes. It was basically unskilled labor. The labor hired in the Roman economy, this would have been the lowest wage that anybody would have received. These would be considered day workers. They would just be people that were employed for the one day, because in reality, the people that this landowner was hiring, they were totally unemployed. They were probably uneducated. They were men that had given up on finding steady work. So they stood around in the marketplace, waiting for somebody to come and give them a job for one day. Now, as we look out there in our economy today, in Stanton, Virginia, we don't have a lot of this. But if you went to some of the agricultural areas where there's a lot of farms or a lot of groves or things like that, you would probably find a lot of places where they hire what they call day workers. And basically everybody gathers together and the guy comes out there with the truck and he picks the people that are going to get a job for that day and they get in the truck and they all go out and they work. But the difference is that in our culture, they used to just go out in the morning and never come back. Jesus' story is ironic because the landowner continues to go back over and over and over and over to continue to recruit workers. And then we get to the end and he is offering a denarius, a wage. Now, I want to put the wage that he was offering back in context just so you just have some understanding. We're all familiar with what a Roman soldier is. We see them on the screens of the movies, and we know what Rome was. It was the empire. It was built on the back of its army. And there were Roman soldiers, and a trained Roman soldier earned a denarius a day. A trained Roman soldier. A soldier that had to march into battle. A soldier that had to put his life on the line. A soldier that had to be committed to the job each and every day. I have never been in the military, but you know what? If you're going to be in the military, you're going to be in the military. There is no part-time military. If you're going to join the military, you are going to have to be committed to what you're doing. So if you think about it, this landowner was offering a denarius a day for an unskilled worker versus a denarius a day for a Roman soldier. That's kind of generous, isn't it? I mean, we're talking about going in 6 a.m., from 6 a.m. to working till 6 at night, and you, an unskilled, untrained individual, was going to earn the same thing that, you know what, a soldier. A person that has to go out and march each and every day. A person that has to go away from their family. A person that has to put themselves in jeopardy. You're going to earn the same thing. As I got a feeling that when the landowner comes and said, you want to come work in my field for a day? And I'll pay you a denarius? Man, these people are like, oh yeah! Sign me up! The people at 6 o'clock in the morning, they thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to earn a denarius? That means tomorrow I may not even have to come out here and stand? Because guess what? I have earned more than I ever think I'm going to earn. A denarius a day. So, let's take a look at the symbols that we have here in this parable. And remember, when we're studying these kingdom parables, man, the wind's going to just fight with me today. When we're studying these kingdom parables, the thing we have to remember is we don't want to look at every single sign. What we want to look at, we want to look at the symbols of three basic things. First thing we want to find out, in the story that Jesus told, where's God? If I had to pick God out of the story, who would it be? Well, it's kind of obvious, isn't it? In this particular parable, God is the landowner. God is the generous person coming and offering a wage for somebody to come into his field and work. Okay? So, what represents the kingdom itself? That's kind of odd, because it's the vineyard. It's the place we're being called to. And it's kind of odd because usually when we think of the kingdom of God, we think about people sitting around in robes, having wings, sitting on clouds and playing harps. We think about retirement. We think about it's time for us to sit back and take it easy. But what Jesus is saying the landowner is calling them to do is work. He is requiring them to do service as they go in there. And so they are coming into this thing understanding this kingdom they're looking for is not some place to come sit and relax. It's a place where God is calling you to work. God is calling you to serve. God is calling you to do something with your life. And so that leaves us to ask the question, where are we? If God is the landowner, and the kingdom of heaven is the vineyard, then it's kind of obvious where we are, right? We're the people that are being called. We're the people that are going into, God is going into the marketplace and saying, would you like to come and work in my vineyard? Now, I want you to pay close attention to what the landowner did. Did he say, go? Not exactly. He said, will you go? Did he bring an armed guard out there and force people to come and work in his vineyard? Absolutely not. He gave them a choice. He gave them a decision to make. Will you go and work in my vineyard? But he did say, if you go, there will be a physical reward for you. Now, that's an interesting story. But I want you to understand the kingdom principle that goes behind the story. And here it is. Grace is not fair. That's what Jesus is trying to tell them. Grace is not fair. See, he offered to overpay the people and the unskilled society, and well, all of a sudden they began to think it's not fair. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When I tell you grace is not fair, the first person it's not fair to is the landowner. I mean, he had to overpay. He had to give more than what was expected just to have people to go out and do something simple as picking grapes. God had to kind of do the same thing. Even though I was a sinner, even though I was running from God, even though I was not doing the things I should, God said, you know what? I have to pay a price to redeem you. He sent his son to die on the cross for me and for you. It's not fair. Not only is it not fair to the landowner, if you're comparing yourself to one another, guess what? It's not going to be fair. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4 says, at that time his disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If you're looking for greatness, grace isn't going to be fair. If you're looking to accomplish, if you're looking for the reward just so you can show it, if you're looking for the trophy, grace is not going to be fair. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 43 says, Jesus sat down in the opposite place where where the offerings were put and watched the crowd put their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but the poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. And I'm sure the disciples looked at Jesus and said, what? Jesus, do you understand math? Jesus, can you calculate what's going on here? What do you mean she put in the most? Haven't you seen the people that are bringing in bags of gold and bags of money and they're putting it into the temple? And what do you mean this lady has put in the most? You see, the way God looks at things, grace isn't fair. He wasn't judging by the bottom line amount. He was judging by the sacrifice that was made. Think about the thief on the cross for a moment. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Pay attention to this. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence we are, punished justly for what we are getting and deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you will join me in paradise. Now I want you to wrap your head around what Jesus told this thief on the cross who had lived his life being a thief, being a sinner, being somebody that was taking advantage of society. And he was actually caught up in the same thing that led Barabbas into jail. He might have even committed a murder or two to get the thievery that he was doing. He was a thief. And here he is on the cross, and just because he turns his eyes toward Jesus and says, remember me, Jesus says, you know what? Today you're going to be with me in paradise. You understand, said, Jesus was offering him the same paradise that he had offered the 12 apostles. The 12 apostles that had given their life and they left behind family and friends and money and jobs. Those people that had followed him around for 3 years, this thief was about to get the same reward. The thief was being the same thing that was offered to us through Christ's salvation, through Christ's sacrifice. He is being offered the exact same thing. Not a day of church attendance. Not a penny given to the cause of Christ. Not a moment spent in prayer, unless you count that one sentence that he said to Jesus on the cross. No talents given. He had lived his entire life consumed by himself. And just because he turned his eyes toward Christ, Jesus says, you know what? Today you can join me in heaven. Today you can join me in paradise. Are you getting the point? Grace isn't fair, is it? Now I want to make an application to our lives, because many of us today, we're sitting out here and we're looking for fairness. Romans chapter 6, 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. You understand, we have been offered a generous gift. It's a gift because I can't earn it. I can't do enough to make myself worthy of that gift. It is a gift given because of grace. The gift will call us into service. And what you're called to do, well, there goes my little picture that looks like those after the service. What you're called to do may not be the same. John chapter 18, verses 20 through 22, we read, Peter turned and saw that the other disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This is the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said to the Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked the Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. It's not going to be fair. It's not going to work that way. Jesus is going to call each and every one of us to our own mission, our own service, our own job, our own task. And when we begin to look at other people around us, it's not always going to be even. But see, that's the nature of grace. That's the way it works. Grace is not supposed to be fair, because if grace was fair, it wouldn't be amazing, would it? If grace was something that I had to earn, if grace was something I had to do just to get, there would be nothing amazing about it, because that's not grace. That's called a job. Where you do and you get rewarded, that's called a job. You see, right at the end of the parable, right there tucked into the last line, Jesus gives us the upside down view that I want you to pay attention to. Matthew chapter 20, verse 16 says, so the last will be first, and the first will be last. That statement itself just sums up the meaning of grace. Those that presume themselves to be earning grace, those that presume themselves to be doing the most, those that presume themselves to be achieving something for God just so they can say, look at me, I am the greatest in the kingdom, I'm the best that there is, God, look at me, pay attention to me. Jesus said, you know what? Those aren't the people I put first. Those people that they come and they surrender their lives and they understand the fact that I can't earn what has been offered to me. I just have to take it in grace. It's not fair. And let me ask you something. Would you want it to be fair? Would you really want grace to be fair? Now you realize, would she be asking for if you said yes? If you said, I want grace to be fair, then that means you have to live up to God's standard. And God has but one standard. Perfection. You have to, from the moment you brought into this earth until the moment that you leave this earth, you have to be perfect. Not one single solitary misstep. If you have one moment of lapse, then you have lost everything. Remember Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Do you really want grace to be fair? Do you really want to compare yourself to others? Or maybe we need to find the kingdom of God by understanding grace was not supposed to be fair, It was meant to be shared. It was meant for us to take the grace that we had received and be so grateful for what we had received from God to turn back around and receive and turn it over to somebody else and I'd like to share it with you. No, it won't be fair. But it will be available to each and every one of us. That's the idea of grace. And that's what I want you to consider as we sit out here in the park. And you know what? Things aren't going to always be fair in life. It's going to be like the kids with these balls as they're moving them back and forth. Did Caleb deserve more than Benjamin? Absolutely. He moved 30 balls and Benjamin only moved one. It should have been 30 times the difference of price. That should have been something different. But here's the deal. That's not the way God does it. So I want you to start thinking about your life today. Are you just trying to make things fair? Or are you trying to live for grace? I'm going to ask the worship team to join me back up here. And we're going to do a couple of songs. We're going to ask you to sing along with us. And that's our message for the day. As we're out looking for the kingdom of God, start looking for grace. Start looking for those things that God has put in front of you. Today, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd like to encourage you. This is not going to be like a formal time where somebody's going to be standing up here. We're going to sing a couple songs. If you need to talk with somebody about what it means to be a Christian, we'll be around here eating hamburgers and hot dogs for another couple of hours. So you can feel free to pull aside myself and I'll sit down and I'll show you what it means to be a Christian. I don't mind doing that. We'll show you what it means to live in grace. Maybe you're here today and you've already taken that step. You've already accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But you're living your life trying to make it fair. You're living your life trying to make sure that it's equal. Well, let me explain to you, it's not. So maybe today is time for you to rededicate your life and just start turning yourself to the point that God, it's not going to be fair, but Lord, I'm going to live my life for you. Will you pray with me and then we're going to...